Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Sleep at night. Oh, man, can you feel those summer vibes?
I can if it wasn't, like, 60 degrees outside.
It's warmer than that.
I had to have you bring me a jacket.
Summer vibe.
Not quite.
That was just pure X, thousand-year-old child. They are crammed in here. They tried to resist the pizza. They said, I couldn't possibly eat pizza before I played. And we're looking at a bunch of empty Roberta's trays. It's too good.
Yeah.
It's too good. Well, we're very, very excited. It's a huge week in food. We have our first barbecue blowout.
It's like a continuum of last week.
I know. Last week was the James Beard Awards. Shout out to everybody who won. Shout out to everybody who got nominated.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to all the after parties. Nomad. Crazy.
Pretty good.
But our first barbecue blowout tomorrow is with the boys from Brooklyn Brewery, Garrett and Andrew. We'll have Summer Ale on tap
from Brooklyn Brewery. Turing Machine will be DJing, and you can get tickets.
Yeah, Food Republic's going to be there. Eventbrite will be there. Heritage Radio Network will be there. BBQBlowoutMay.eventbrite.com. Tickets are selling.
Yeah, $10 in advance, $15 at the door, gets you a plate of food and a beer. Hangs. Yeah.
Hangs.
And if you like Turing Machine, go back and listen to their episode a few episodes back.
Episode 150. But we're not here just to talk about us. Not always. We have...
Rarely.
We have the one, the only James Casey, all the way from Manhattan via Skype on the show right now. James, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to make it out down there today.
It's okay.
Hopefully this will suffice.
It's okay. We've only tried to book you 4 times, and I figured that if we just didn't get you at least on the phone, we'd never get you on the show.
We didn't get him on the phone. We got him on Skype.
We got him on... It's the same thing, isn't it?
Excellent.
So, James...
Well, I'm on the phone.
You're on the phone. James,
I digress.
You are the founder of Swallow Magazine, and for those who, the uninitiated, as you say, what is Swallow Magazine?
Well, it's not the easiest thing to describe, but the best way we've done this so far is to say that it's a food and travel magazine that's sort of unlike any other food and travel magazine out there. We've at least claim that we're sort of the anti-foodie food magazine, but that's probably just a bit of a marketing pitch. But each issue is dedicated to a different destination. So the first was the Scandinavian issue, the second was the Trans-Siberian, and then the one that's just coming out now is the Mexico City one.
And how did you get the idea for this magazine? What's your background?
It came from working at other magazines before, and more commercial magazines. I'd worked previously for fashion magazines, and I think whilst we were working with amazing talent, photographers and writers and stylists, etc., it was just, there was the possibility to work with these people on something completely different. And my background growing up, my father had actually published a food and travel magazine himself, so there was always something that I was after that other magazines necessarily didn't capture. And this was way back in the early days of 2009. So
the early days. The early days of 2009.
Exactly.
So... how would you define how often you are you an annual? I guess once a year, or
I think that's. I mean, that's what we say, but I think that's probably in the past that's been optimistic, and that 2 issues came out within a year of each other, and then this one took about just under 2 years to put together, based on some of the production delays and production kind of snafus involved with this issue.
And I think some of the snafus came with the snelfuse, as you had a scratch and sniff element to this?
Exactly. So we worked with this amazing, she's both an artist and a chemist in Berlin, and she was able to recreate or synthesize and recreate the smells of Mexico City. So we worked with her to recreate 20 different smells of different neighborhoods and published the issue with a series of scratch and sniff stickers that are sort of stuck throughout the issue.
How were you able to pick which smells captured Mexico City?
Well, I mean, she had collected and gathered a list of 200 of the smells. So it was really a case of looking through that list and seeing what sounded interesting, and then between us synthesizing those smells in her lab and seeing what from those smells smelled the most interesting. So we wanted to sort of get a mix of both the sort of not so nice, which is fairly common over there, and also a couple of the pleasant smells as well, and just abstract interesting smells. So there's a lot of industrial smells. Say, for example, there's car pollution or there's vehicle repair shops, but then we've also got sort of old trees and dirt and rotting citrus fruit and, you know, other sort of strange and wonderful and often rather bizarre smells.
How long does a scratch and sniff sticker keep its smell? Or how many scratches do you get out of it?
I've been told that they last. They can last for, you know, 20, 30 years because the technology that's used to make them is... they're micro-encapsulated into the lacquer, but I've been also told that they can last for a while. I mean, at least over like 100 rubs, so to speak.
20 to 30 years is a long time.
That's a long time. That's a lot of time to be smelling an auto mechanic shop.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you went to Mexico City, but then I know that you also recreated all the dishes in your apartment, right?
Yeah. Well, this is the first issue where we've. Well, we've created a recipe section. I think in the past we were rather opposed to it, and just because I think that, you know, recipes without any context to a story are not that necessary, that interesting to us. But for the purposes of this issue, we worked with a restaurant down there that sort of created a list of sort of Mexican classics, but that weren't particularly sort of fiesta nachos and salsa type Mexican dishes. They were sort of part of an international style of cooking that could be combined with anything else at the table. So we, you know, due to budget limitations, etc., we ended up shooting that in my apartment. So for the best part of 2.5 days, we just basically cooked our way through 20-something recipes and just shot the ingredients as they were laid out beforehand and then, you know, photographed the finished dish as well.
Amazing. That must have been a fun dinner party / photo shoot to be part of.
It was probably more fun for those people who were attending, I think. For those of us who were cooking and shooting, it was a little bit hectic. But, yeah, it was great.
And so what are the plans now? Now that you have the third issue, how do you get the word out? Are you going on tour with it? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, I'm actually off to Mexico City next week to do an event there. And then come July, we'll be doing a launch event here in New York, which will be a dinner, which you guys will be invited to, of course.
Awesome.
And then, you know, we were planning to do more events that are sort of not necessarily connected to each issue, but just continuing with a series of events, you know, wherein we can get interesting people together and take people from different walks, not just food people, but also, you know, people from the worlds of art and film and fashion, you know, all sat down with food people and everyone sort of having a big dialogue.
So where's next? What's the next city or adventure?
The East Village.
East Village? Keeping it really local.
We've covered continents, we've covered regions, we've covered entire cities, and now we're just going to cover a neighborhood. And I think, you know, part of that's a little bit of a, you know, like a nice little joke, you know, that we're able to sort of come back to something small. But I also think that as a neighborhood, there's a lot of stuff behind closed doors and under the surface that's not necessarily that well known. So it's going to be a very, very familiar neighborhood, but a very unfamiliar look at that neighborhood, if that makes sense.
There's this speakeasy ramen place called Momofuku that's in the East Village that, you know, if you want an introduction, I can make one.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, but I'd love to.
Yeah, but all right, there should be a lot of stuff. So, James, where can people get the magazine? Where can they order it? Where can they find it?
So we sell it either, you know, you can go onto our website, which is swallowmagazine.com. Okay. You can buy it there. Or... alternatively, it's in, you know, it's not just in New York, but it's in shops worldwide. But I think here in New York, it's definitely over at St. Mark's Books, over at McNally Jackson, at Kitchen Arts and Letters. So it's all around.
Awesome. Well, James, thank you so much. You got a Twitter that people can, or Instagram that people can follow you on?
Yep, they're both the same. They're just at Swallow Magazine.
Awesome. Well, one day we'll have you into the studio, maybe for the East Village one in like 3 years.
No, it's going to be out by the end of the year. This one, I promise.
Okay, cool. So we'll schedule for a time to come in. We'll feed you pizza in exchange for some East Village delights.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. Have a good day. Have fun in the city.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a couple people, John and Jordana, coming up from the Googa Mooga, which is happening this weekend.
I want you to ask me, I want you to reach out and ask a question, but I won't ask for any favors. I want you to test me with something I don't really want, but I look around, there's no one else here that you'd be waiting, that you'd be waiting for. But when you hold the question back, you're holding out, but I won't go, no. Who's gonna go? Who's gonna see? And I knew, don't follow up, no sir, I won't follow up a sister word to falling back, dear. And I won't ask unless you ask me. Maybe I'll find a way to put the words right in your mouth. And I look around, there's no one else here that you'd be waiting, that you'd be waiting for. But when you hold the question back, you're holding now, but I won't go, no. But I found an unusual feeling, something real in the night of your heart. And I can't say just what it all means. You're a fruit to peel and to pick apart. You'd put me somewhere, a shelf in hiding, a shelf just you could reach. And I woke up there, but couldn't tell you why I didn't mind it or how much I would weigh right here. I found an unusual feeling, something real in and out of your heart. And I can't say just what it all means. You're a fruit to peel and to pick apart. Guitar!
I'm going to get to see that amazingness on Friday.
Yeah, but they brought out a choir, Coachella. They did at South By, so, you know.
Dude, what are you doing here?
It's actually still really awesome. What I'm doing here, I'm co-hosting a radio show with you while you eat, while you elegantly go off mic to eat a, like, piece of salad.
I mean, we're hungry.
Yeah. Sorry. This is the fastest I've ever seen food disappear. Just, you know, congratulations.
So, we want to welcome back to the show one of our favorite people of all time.
Ever.
Ever.
Official sister of the Bresnahan family.
Jordana Rothman, welcome back to Snack
and Drink. Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
Look.
How are you?
You've had Chinese food with us and our parents on Christmas. You're officially part of the family. I think that's what counts.
I do feel that way. I also posed with your mother for a series of very cheeky portraits.
If you go onto my Instagram, it was we took mom to a night of food events, and she got to pose with Andy Richter from Pok Pok, David Chang, Morimoto, and Jordana Rothman.
So, Jordana, welcome back. We are here to talk about one of the most amazing things that we've seen. I'm holding them in my hands. The great Googa Mooga trading cards, which you helped write, produce, make happen.
That's right. I was the editorial director on that project. So I you know, helped conceptualize them with the Guga Muga team, and then I pulled in some writers that I really trust and formulated those story ideas and, you know, worked with our design team and really just sort of brought the vision to life, which was really, really satisfying for me.
They're amazing. First thing we got to ask, we open them up, no stick of gum. What's up?
That's right. Well, it's actually funny that you say that. There is no stick of gum, but the wax pack on the outside is this really bright, vibrant, beautiful hot pink.
Yeah.
And we presented them to a number of people, including apparently Peter Meehan, who immediately tried to bite it as if it was a stick of gum.
Oh.
So there's something just like inherently delicious to think about the way that it looks. So, but I can't recommend eating it because none of it's edible.
Next year. The technology's not there. We can get 20 or 30 years in a scratch and sniff sticker, but we can't get an edible wrapper yet.
So explain to people what these cards are, and you have a bunch of different series, and there's a preview online at brooklyn.gugamuga.com/trading-cards. Remember
That's
that,
correct.
People. Or just search Guga Muga trading cards. I'm sure you'll find it. But what was the impetus? What was the idea behind it?
So, you know, John, you know, the Guga Muga team came to me, and, you know, they were really looking to find a way to kind of expand the editorial scope and voice of the festival beyond the bounds of the 3 days that the festival takes place. And, you know, there were a number of ideas in play, and you know, it was decided that the baseball card format really sort of encapsulated that kind of feel and that aesthetic of Guga Muga, which is just this really playful, colorful, you know, vintage, throwback kind of vibe. And, you know, it's a really interesting format for storytelling. You know, I'm really interested in visual storytelling, and this was sort of an outgrowth of that. And basically what it is it's a series of five different packs which each tell a specific story, or hinge on a particular theme. So we have a pack that's all about pork. We have a pack that's all about hot dogs and sausages, international sausage traditions. We have a pack that's all about booze. One of the really fun ones to work on was this pack called What Mama Made, and it's all about sort of introducing the matriarchs of some of the chefs that we're working with at Guga Muga and just kind of tracing those culinary heritage and that lineage. So it's really just kind of a fun and engaging way to tell food stories.
I just got the one that has...
Hey, don't put that in your pocket.
It's going in my pocket. I got the one with Hugh and Andy from Pock Pock. Which pack is this?
Right, so that pack is the brain hack pack, and so the idea behind that was, you know, we have these chefs that we are working with who are so inspiring, and you know, they don't really. It's almost a shame to sort of shoehorn them into a different story that isn't expressly about how creative and inspiring and just sort of strange they really are, and you know, they're all just fascinating chefs for different reasons, and we kind of wanted to just crack into their gray matter a little bit and tell their stories and interview them. So, you know, you have Andy Ricker, who's just like minutia mad, you know, detail-oriented Thai food chef. And, of course, Yves Dufour from M. Wells, who just has this demented sensation about the way flavors go together and also just incredible instincts in that matter. And, of course, you know, Justin Warner from Do or Dine, who's just really cheeky and clever and is doing really interesting things with food out in Bed-Stuy. So it was just an opportunity to really kind of showcase those talents and have some fun with them because they're all just such interesting characters.
I really love the Mother's one, which I'm assuming is a nod to this happening the week after Mother's Day.
That's just a convenient quirk of the timing, actually.
The answer is yes, because we all love our mothers, right?
I mean, really, I mean, you know, I truly think that, you know, so much of, you know, my interest in food, you know, can be traced back to that, to my ancestral kitchen, to my mother, you know, and, you know, she really emphasized, of course, Jewish flavors in my particular household. But so many of us, you know, whether we adore the recipes of our mothers in our familial kitchens or, you know, sort of are mortified by them, it has a formative quality on the way that we approach and think about food. So we just wanted to kind of take a look at those, at that heritage, and kind of introduce the women behind some of the men and women who are serving us interesting food right now.
Awesome. So so how can people get these trading cards at the event?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, they're very limited run. They'll be sort of available throughout the week leading up to the festival this week. But if you want to get a pack, obviously you should go to the festival. That's the best way to get it. There is the Express Yourself site hosted by Lexus where you can get one of the packs, or you can go to a show at the Joe's Pub stage and you can get a pack there as well. So you should just kind of keep your eyes peeled at the festival. They're really easy to spot. You know, they're these bright pink. You really can't miss them. So hopefully people are going to be carrying them around and you can ask where they found them.
Awesome. And what are you most excited about outside of the cards about experiencing at the festival this weekend?
You know, I'm really excited for the Flaming Lip. I'm going to be running around all weekend, and I'm actually I know that another Liza DeGuia, who from Food Curated, a little video series about the burger that they're serving at Jeepney at the festival, and I definitely want to taste that. It just sounds like so right up my alley with that kind of like fermented sausage ground into the beef, and it's just my kind of thing. So I'm excited to taste that too.
That's great. Well, Jordana, I want to thank you so much for coming out, sort of, on the phone on Snackatoons. It's so much better to see you in person. I love that smiling face.
I know. Well, hopefully you can hear my smiles.
I can hear your smiles. I know that we'll be there as well. We're going to be hanging out with Doug and Brian on Sunday and Mr. James Murphy for the Big Gay Ice Cream Disco Party. Hopefully we will see
you. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
To dance. We have some really fun things planned for that. And I know that tickets are still available for Friday night. For the Yeah Yeahs and the Flaming Lips and the Darkness. And you can go to brooklyn.googamooga.com. Greg, you're just slipping all of those into your pocket.
I left you five packs.
Yeah, but what if you have the two that I want?
Probably.
Ugh. All right.
You have good taste.
Jordana, you're the best. I can't wait to see you this weekend.
Thanks, guys. See you at the park.
Thank you. All right. Well, we have Pure X coming up live in studio. They patiently. Are you guys fed? You good?
Oh, yeah.
And then we have Carter from Midnight Magic swinging by for a hot second to give away a couple pair of tickets, and he will be on at the end of the show. What we got coming up in between this and that?
We are doing a little shout-out to Benjamin Curtis from School Seven Bells. He was diagnosed with cancer. He's going through some treatment right now. There was a really great benefit for him at Glasslands this week. Shout-out to Ben. We know he can beat this. Anyway, we have welcome Pure X all the way from Austin, Texas.
Hello.
ATX. First hard-hitting question. Favorite taco? Go.
Damn.
Where and when?
That's tough. Damn, I have so many tacos in my memory. It's
I love Mitrailita, this taco truck.
Yeah. Mitrailita.
Where's that one?
Yeah.
East 51st and Maynard.
Okay, that's up there.
Yeah.
Shit, man, I just eat Torchies, dude. I don't care.
I'm a Taco Morey type of guy. Taco Morey? Up on the north side?
No, I don't know that place.
Oh, that's a scoop.
Where is it at?
It's up north. I forget. It's in some like shopping mall complex. It's awesome.
That's always where the ones are.
Yeah.
Some random.
Yeah.
Well, is that the place that has like they have not heard of environmentally safe, like anything? Everything is in like styrofoam.
Yeah,
oversized.
It's awesome. It's awesome. So welcome. How are you guys enjoying Brooklyn, New York?
Chill so far.
Yeah. We just got here.
Where'd you guys come in from?
Hamden, Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut.
How was the show?
Interesting.
Define interesting.
Yeah.
Boring.
Sparsely populated.
Hamden, Connecticut. I don't even, you know.
Where
like,
is that?
I don't even know.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
How does one wind up there?
I don't know, dude.
Booking agents.
Yeah, booking agent books a random show before New York, and then you're in Hamden, Connecticut, hanging out with...
No good moments, no good kids.
No, actually, there was cool people there.
Oh, okay.
But there was actually a badass thrift store that was, like, kind of connected to it. It's like this little complex, which is cool, like thrift store, bar.
That's what those towns breed. The one... cool restaurant, thrift store, venue. By some kids who were like, we're just going to do this here until we can get the fuck out and go to some other city.
Yeah, totally.
That was cool.
So you guys are on tour. You're digging like
in the midst.
Yeah.
In the midst of
deep.
It.
Deep
in this thing. Yeah.
How's touring life? You guys tour well together?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first tour we've
By the way, you can't really ask that question.
I can totally ask that question.
No, I hate these motherfuckers.
Not yet.
Pure X breaking up live on Snacky Tunes.
Right, dude.
What's the food situation? Do you guys have someone who takes the food lead on where you're going to eat?
Yeah, typically, we brought a juicer on tour, which is
the
best thing I've ever done. Yeah.
So it's like your rider just all, like, just fruit and veggies?
Yeah, veggies and fruits. We pick up veggies and fruits along the way, and then we juice them in hotels.
That's good, because without that, you probably... I have trouble living in New York and getting enough stuff without getting a juice.
Yeah,
enough vitamins.
Yeah.
Especially on the road, because, you know, it's just like hamburgers, pizza, you know what I'm saying? It's like
This is better.
This is way above average.
But this is not
This is vitamin P in it. This is not your, like...
Not vitamin C, though. Yeah.
Why don't we hear a song?
All right, guys, cool.
I would say rip a tune, but it's not really a rip a tune.
Let's rip a tune.
No, why don't you introduce us to some summer vibes?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, here we go. Pure X Live on Snacky. What song are you going to play first?
We're going to play this Merle Haggard cover. It's called Silver Wings.
Yeah.
Silver wings shining in the sunlight, roaring gems and somewhere in flight, they're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight, and oh, I cried, don't take that airplane ride, but you locked me out of your mind and left me standing here behind. Silver wings shining in the sun. Somewhere in flight, they're taking you away and leaving me lonely. Silver wings slowly fading out of sight.
Awesome.
So why'd you choose to lead with the cover? What does that song do for you guys?
It's fun to play.
It's fun to play. We're sitting in here with two acoustic guitars. Yeah. So.
A lot of our songs, you know, it's like translating them just to acoustic guitars would be kind of hard because there's so much stuff going on.
There's much better songs to play on acoustic guitars.
I like that. That's a good approach. So the new record comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
I need to know, how did you meet Patrick North?
Patrick, were you guys trading bitcoins?
Yeah. Oh, you guys really do know Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. One of our 7-inches came out like a couple years ago, and he just hit us up over email, and we just kind of sparked up a relationship over email, and then just met him and liked him, and it's just been...
He's an easy guy to like.
Very easy.
He's hands down one of the best people I've ever met.
All right.
I'd say that too. I hope he's listening. I love him.
He's super rad.
Patrick, why aren't you here right now?
Where are you?
He has too much work.
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy.
Well, I mean, they have that modular festival in Croatia. Like in 2.5 weeks, so.
They're having a festival in Croatia?
Yeah, on some island.
What?
The fuck? It looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Cool. I thought I was over festival, so I saw that one. I was like, I want to go to there.
Yeah, I want to go to that too. Patrick, what's up?
Yeah, Patrick, what's up?
Patrick, let's call it. Joe, can we call it? We're going to need
Let's get him online.
Honestly, what's that? Like two of his bitcoins that would
over?
Dude. Just throw me a bitcoin, man.
Yeah.
So how was the process for writing this record different from the earlier 7-inches and first LP?
It was completely different, actually. We took, the complete opposite approach, whereas, all the stuff prior to that had been recorded completely live in the studio. And this one was, just a regular studio album. Which, before that, I had, fucking despised for some reason. I got in this zone, personally, where I was just, fuck, I'm so sick of sitting there and track the drums, you know, and then track the bass and shit. I was like, let's just do it all at once. Get in, get the fuck out, and go do something else, you know. But this one, we had a shitload of time, so we just chilled in the studio and worked for 2 years almost.
Did it click for you? You're like, oh yeah, now I see why people make these type of records.
I had made those type of records. Oh, we had made those type of records before, so it was just you know, it was just what was happening.
You just wanted to change it up, man.
Change it up. You know, you gotta change it up.
You gotta keep it fresh.
Keep it fresh. And that's what this record was, changing it up for us, you know.
So did you find that a new type of sound emerged from doing it this way?
Absolutely. Changed completely. Before we would write a song, practice it up, and go record it. Whereas this time, we wrote a lot of songs in the studio. They just kind of came out of nowhere and just, took shape. And went in weird directions that they never would have gone had we just been trying to play them live.
We had lots of time to perfect all the little nuances in there. Whereas on the other record, you know, there's nothing like that. It was just okay, that's what we got. Whatever, roll with it. Yeah.
What studio do you guys record out of?
We recorded out of this. Well, we recorded this album out of this studio in Austin called Shine Studios and. With this guy, Steven Orsak, who has engineered all of our stuff, and is a really awesome fucking dude. And, we pretty much just follow him to whatever studio he happens to be in. He has, this amazing, huge 2-inch tape machine,
Until now, he hasn't really had a space, and I think he's moving again now, too, but, the whole time we made this album, we were in one spot.
Which was awesome. Whereas the other album was recorded in 10 different spots or something.
Houses
and studios and wherever we could get at the time.
What was the food sitch in the recording process?
Oh man, what was it? Lots
juices?
Of
juices, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cheese, lots
juices,
of
juices, pizza actually, because there was a good pizza spot.
It's the studio's over on East 6, so a lot of the trailers. Food that's over on
little East Side King over there.
Yeah, East Side King. Dude,
I know.
East Side Kings. I like East Side King a lot.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Paul Key.
Yeah.
Dina. Yeah.
Totally.
Should we rip another tune?
Yeah.
Sure.
Something inspired by the East Side?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
East Side
of my tacos. It's
1,000-year-old child.
Okay.
Cool.
I have to say that I think the hammering was oddly on beat.
Yeah. I think so too.
Right?
Yeah.
I went with it.
So thank you to Roofer for making that added percussion. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. Oh, I see Carter. What up, dude? That was really nice.
That was the world version.
That was the world version. You know what the summer brings to Brooklyn, don't you? It's like crust punks and drum circles.
All right, cool.
Yeah, sort of. Cool is a word.
Here,
cool is a word.
Yeah, drum circle going right now. Yeah.
What up, man?
What's up, man? We're going to get you in 1 second. but I want to ask, like, you guys have been, and lived in Austin for a long time and made music out of there. How has it changed over the last few years, 5 years, 10 years? Since you've been there, it seems like it's really evolved and created its own scene in the past like few years.
Condos,
yeah,
condos and people from I don't know all over. A lot of people moving to Austin. So I think it's changed. I've been living in Austin, I guess, like almost 14 years now, and it's like Jesus. From just in that time period, it's fucking changed, like, completely, I feel like. There would be periods where, like, I would, like, leave for, like, 6 months, and I'd come back, and it'd be like, like, all these fucking buildings. Like,
those are the high-rises, right?
Yeah, just like, that's a high-rise.
I feel like the music has gotten better, though. Like, there's still tons of, you know, good old Austin bullshit music.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I mean, with the influx of people, there's obviously all the downsides, but I would say, like, there's more people to support.
Well, it's like, yeah, like us and all of our amazing friends all have
shout out some
shit
bands
going on. Yeah,
give some love.
Troller, Survive,
Wait, the name's God's Troller. Gun. Wait, Troller Survive?
Troller, comma. Troller. Oh. Survive.
So I was like, Troller Survive, like a really dark internet like type band.
Troll or Survive. Troll or Survive, dude. That's
a hybrid. That could be a hybrid.
Troll or Survive.
That's a knuckle tattoo, I think.
There's a bunch, man. Silent Diane is awesome.
Oh, I saw them play this backyard party during South By.
Oh, cool.
They were amazing.
They're great.
They're
yes.
so good.
They're fucking incredible.
They kept fucking with the generator because they had too much shit. Well, I mean, not on purpose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were so good.
What show was that?
It was someone's back. It was like on 51st on like the Thursday night. Somebody threw like a house party.
It was at our friend John's place.
Yeah,
I actually lived right down the street.
Oh yeah,
there.
Right near that donut shop.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Well. But they were really, really good.
Awesome. Oh,
yeah. They were on True Panther, I think, or their
They have a 7-inch. Out on True Panther. Yeah.
But I mean, I know with new spaces that are you seeing like music venues getting edged out, or is it just new places cropping up? All over town.
I think there's kind of a shortage of decent venues in Austin. There's plenty of great bands, but
as far as
venues are pretty bleak, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I have like mixed feelings about the whole music scene in Austin because there is like 10. Everybody and their mom and brother and cousin are in 5 bands each, you know. But it's like, I don't know. The vibes, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it.
I mean, as a band from Austin that is, like, on Patrick's label and now touring, do you see, like, a lot of bands get out of Austin, or most bands just, like, stay there?
Most bands stay. That's the thing that sucks, you know? And it's like, if you stay in Austin, dude, it's like, nothing's ever gonna happen, you know? It's like...
And how were you guys able to find, like, a road out, or just wasn't like, we're going out?
We just fucking go, man. You have to get out. Like, we only play Austin, like, 2 or 3 times a year. We try to keep it pretty... minimal in that regard, and would rather
a lot of bands they're getting to this rut where they just play shows constantly in town and for like no reason, you know.
I had a buddy who I knew a long time ago that was like a local Chicago DJ, and he told me something. He was like, Chicago, there's 2 types of DJs. There's the guys that stay home and can pack a club like 1,000 people every week,
right,
but never leave. Or there are guys who can travel the world but can't get a gig in their hometown the same way.
Yeah,
and he was like, and that's it. There's never 2 ways. And I feel like New York's not really like that, but
New York is sort of like that.
Kinda. I could see that.
That's
kind
of how we are, honestly.
Yeah, that is how we are. Like, we get better crowds out of town than we do, like, in town, yeah, I feel like. Because in town, it's just, like, our friends, generally.
They're like, oh, yeah, we've seen them.
Yeah.
And all like... their previous projects.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he owes me $10, so fuck that. I'm not paying.
Yeah.
We're going to have one quick announcement.
Sure.
Carter.
Sure.
Come on over here, buddy.
Thank you. I will.
Carter's one of our favorite bands, Midnight Magic, who are playing this week. And you guys got a show coming up?
Yes, we do. We have 2 shows, actually, this week. May 16th, this Thursday, at Brooklyn Museum. It's Teen Girl Fantasy, Us Midnight Magic, and Dan Seltzer. Right. Tickets are free with museum admission. You can tell I'm reading this.
You're doing great.
Cool. And then Saturday, May 18th, at Music Hall of Williamsburg, Midnight Magic, we're headlining with Spank DJs and Slow Nights.
Amazing.
Awesome. I'll be there.
You guys are giving away a pair of tickets to Music Hall?
Yes.
Guest list?
Yes.
Where can they hit you?
You know what? Andrew didn't tell me.
What's your email address?
Hit them on the Twitter.
Hit us on Twitter at Midnight Magic Sounds.
Great.
Yes.
First person or randomly chosen.
Yeah.
Whatever you feel like.
Yes. Whatever you feel like.
Hey. We'll sort it out. Just Twitter us. We'll sort it out.
A shout out to you being on SNL.
Oh, yeah, you saw that.
Yeah, Macklemore Ryan Lewis.
Yeah,
playing those horns.
I feel like you guys are like the go-to horn section.
We're getting there.
Yeah. I mean, and the David Byrne tour and all that stuff as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're slowly...
Pretty, that's pretty go-to.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like the guys from, what is it, the Manahan Street Band, like that label and that scene, like they're so
good for
this call. I mean, they were like Jay-Z, Amy Winehouse. Like
who?
They were backing up Jay-Z. Sorry. Oh, ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
He's reading stuff paper and you're fucking with him?
That's what we do.
What's your problem?
No, it's really going to be a lot of fun. And aren't you guys doing something at the Ace tomorrow?
Yes, we are playing at the Ace tomorrow. I cannot
think of the 4-year anniversary party. Kind of keep it like a secret.
Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow night.
It's cool. All 12 listeners.
Oh. Wow. Oh.
Zing.
Thanks.
Damn. Hey,
Midnight Magic. Thank you.
That's what I generally, like, you know, when I show up to a venue and I'm running late, I'm like, hi, I'm with the band. Like, which band? The one that's talking really rudely and obnoxiously?
Yeah. Yes. No, it's fine. Brooklyn, we play hard.
Yeah, we play hard. Fight to win.
Anyway, we'll see you out this week.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
So much.
Thank you, Darren.
And PureX, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, cheers.
Record is out tomorrow.
Where can people get it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where can they get it?
Local stores.
Pam was like, tell into the microphone. By the way, thank you, Pam, for setting this up. Thank you, Patrick, as well. Yeah, good PR people. Totally. Always
stores
amazing.
Record, definitely.
PureXmusic.com.
Yeah.
What's the, you guys on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's
pure underscore X.
Two underscores.
Yeah.
Double underscore.
That's another good Austin name band.
Yeah.
Double underscore X.
Double underscore.
But you already... stole their Twitter
like
handle.
The troll,
so
troll to survive.
Troll or survive.
And then survive is also
you have a music hall tonight and 285 Kent tomorrow.
No, it's Mercury.
We have Mercury tomorrow. Oh. And 285 Kent the day after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you have a night off tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what are you guys
What are you guys going to do?
Oh, man, you don't even know. We're going to paint this town purple, dude.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
I cannot wait to hear what that entails. Thank you, everybody. We have Small Black on next week, which should be pretty exciting. And then, thank you for tuning in to Snacky Tunes. What are you guys going to take us out with?
A little JJ Cale cover.
Awesome. Yeah. Love it. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.